Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Got a great word to share with you tonight. A word that helps us understand how God is working. And if you would, why don't you be seated? I've got a short little story. I'm going to pray, and then I got a story to tell. We'll stand in a moment to read a small passage of Scripture, but I want to share with you tonight a powerful word that will help us release faith in your life, hope, and maybe some understanding. Let's pray, and then I'll start. Father, I thank you for this word here that you've given me. I pray you help me communicate what it is you've put in my heart, what you just dropped right in my spirit. Lord, help my words come out the right way. They don't always do that, but Lord, if you help me, they will. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Give me an anointing to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. I was 10 or 11, and my mother my mother would routinely send me to the grocery store on my bicycle to save her a trip. And I loved it because the grocery store was a long way away and I could just cruise through this little town that we grew up. The town I grew up in was much smaller than Wasilla, tiny little dot in the state of Oklahoma is where I'm originally from, Boomer Sooner. Okay, and so I found out that the city of Tecumseh, which is where I'm from, had put a new sidewalk in on the highway, and I could never take the highway to get to the grocery store because the shoulder was so small and I didn't want to get hit by a car. I would have to go a long way around to get to the grocery store. And I realized and saw one day riding in the car, wow, the city has put a sidewalk in on the highway. I can now take the highway, and guess what? There's a nice big hill on the highway. Yeah, I'm gonna set a speed record getting to, I'm 10 or 11, okay? 10 or 11. So all I can think of is how fast can I go down that new sidewalk on that big hill down to the grocery store? This is gonna be awesome. So I'm waiting, my mother, you know, it happened at least once a week. So she sends me to the store. I'm so excited. Yes, I'm going to go down the new sidewalk. Yes. I get on my bike. I get on the new sidewalk. Here comes the hill. I'm going down the hill. My hair's flying back. My face is peeling back. I just know I'm breaking records. I had to have been going at least 75 miles an hour in my mind, down this hill, 10 years old, weighed all 80 pounds or less, depending on which clothing I had on. So I'm going as fast, I'm so excited, I'm going down this hill. I did, you know, and I didn't have one of those bikes with gears, so you can go on so fast that your pedals don't work anymore. Okay, well, to me, that meant I was going exceedingly fast. That was like turbo mode. I'm going so fast that my pedals stop working, and they're just spinning freestyle. I'm like, yeah! Hunch down, get lower, yeah! And I was almost to the bottom of the hill, and in my blurry vision, because my tears were streaking back so fast, just tears just coming right out of my eyes, and my vision was a little bit blurry, and I see something on the sidewalk, and by the time I realized what it was, oh, it was too late. The city had not finished the sidewalk, and there was going to be a culvert in the middle of the sidewalk, and they were going to put a grate over the top, and there was no grate yet, and I hit it full speed. Did a hula maca flip up in the air, landed on my face, right there in full view, tiny town, everyone knows everyone, on the main highway. My ego was hurt way more than my face was hurt. Because I just know there was somebody going by right at that time going, "Gah!" They're probably still watching it. Wait, there were no cell phones at that time. If there was, it would be viral in an instant. It was so violent. I injured myself, and I was embarrassed, and I got up and went on to the grocery store. And that leads me into our message here tonight. And it's a great word that goes right with it. So would you take your Bible, and I'm going to read a small piece of the story here together with you. I'll read some other ones along the way, but if you would be so kind to stand for a moment for the reading of the word, if you're able to. If not, just stand up on the inside. We're going to honor the word of the Lord. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. God's wisdom in orchestrating the fulfillment of this great vision. Deuteronomy 7, 22. I believe they have it right up here. There you go. I like to read it off the paper myself. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Let's pray again. Father, speak to us tonight. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My little experience going down the highway speaks to us of the city was not ready for anyone to go down it yet, but they had not put any signs up, and I just got ahead of the game and went on down there. And in this little passage here, we see God's great wisdom in play with the nation of Israel. And just this one little passage speaks volumes to us about how God works in our own life. The Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament realities. Have you ever heard that before? That's worth writing down. I have it written down in my Bible. It helps me remember and just kind of puts a frame around, what am I looking at in the Old Testament? What's all these stories about? Ah, they're trying to give me a picture of truths in the New Testament. So we have this story right here of the nation of Israel. So let me catch you up and kind of build a background of what we're reading here. The nation of Israel had been delivered from Egypt. Moses was their leader coming out of Egypt. God did all kinds of crazy miracles to get them out of there. It was the same story as the parting of the Red Sea. Moses is leading them across. Moses was the leader there, and you know, water from the rock, manna from heaven, all these miraculous things. They got to the promised land where God had told them they were going. He was going to deliver them, put a great vision out ahead of them, so they had a big picture of what God's doing. They get there, and they don't have the right picture of God. And so God says, you flunked that test. You're now going to walk around the desert for 40 years while you learn to pass the test. You don't have the right picture of who I am. God is concerned in these first five books of the Bible about making sure we understand who he is, how he operates, that he's a holy God, we're not, and there's a right way to approach a holy God. And so he puts the nation of Israel spinning around the desert, chasing, following, it's probably a better word, following a cloud by day, fire by night, while he walks them through progressions of unlearning Egypt and learning the Almighty God. Unlearning slavery, learning following the mighty God. And 40 years goes by. Moses is nearing the end of his life, and the book of Deuteronomy is kind of a summary of everything they've been through. The words that Moses is saying here are not the first time they've heard this. Like I was saying, Deuteronomy is kind of a recap. The first time he said this particular type of phraseology about what's going to happen when they go to take over the promised land and how God was going to function occurs in Exodus. So take your Bible, turn over, and let's look at the first time God is declaring to them this little by little thing. All right, Exodus, and I'm going to look at chapter 23, verse 28, and let's take a look at that. I'm going to start with 27. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet, watch out, ahead of you to drive all the ites out of your way. There's a whole bunch of ites there. Verse 29, but I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. And then he says, I will establish your borders. From these two little passages here, these two little scripture passages, we can draw a whole lot about God's orchestrating and wisdom with the nation of Israel. And the principles that we see here speak clearly to us. See, I don't want you to be like I was going down the sidewalk when it wasn't time to go down the sidewalk and having a hulimaka flip at the bottom. So let's take a look at what these principles are that we can draw from this about God and how he operates. A glimpse at the wisdom of God as he expands Israel into the promised land. To wrap up my recap, Moses sinned against the Lord. The Lord told him a second time to go back to the big rock that water came out of. The first time he was supposed to smack it with a stick, and he did. Water came rushing out. The second time, he was not supposed to hit it with a stick. He was supposed to speak to the rock, and water would come out. And Moses had gotten angry and in frustration, hit the rock again. And when he did, he lost his opportunity to go to the promised land. Obeying God is not a frivolous thing. It's not something we do just when everything works out and we're all happy. It's something we do to live by. So Moses was not going to be allowed to go to the promised land. Joshua was going to lead them. And in Deuteronomy, Moses was reminding them, it's going to be little by little. A glimpse at this wisdom. The first thing is we realize that God gives a big picture. God gives a big vision. God gives Israel and Moses a sense of where something is way down the road, but doesn't tell him all the things that are going to happen on the way to that. And that's important for us to realize. I know you and I have dreams or a vision or a prophetic word or something we've been praying for. You and I have, maybe you don't see it yet. Maybe I'm the only one, but I haven't seen all the things I've been contending for. I haven't seen the fulfillment of many of the dreams I've had at night. I've had a fulfillment of some, but not all of them. Prophetic words I'm waiting to bring to fulfillment. Many times those are just like God speaking to the children of Israel, hey, it's way down there, we're going there, and that's all that you can see. But God gives a big picture. In this instance, his desire is to get all of Israel to the promised land. But then we see very clearly the second thing is that God is going to fulfill it according to their capacity, according to their ability to take over the promised land piece by piece. It wasn't everything all at once. It was only a portion, and it depended on their capacity. He says there, if he gives it to them all at once, they can't handle all of it. Fulfilling the vision. We're talking about what we get from these two little sections here, and that speaks to us. Fulfilling the vision that God put before them required them to grow, and it had stages. It wasn't, okay, they've become enough, you get all of it. Okay, here's where they are. They can have this much now. It's kind of my own words, but it speaks clearly to us about the way God works in our life. You and I, seeing a vision, having an understanding of what God's leading us to, the very same thing is true in our life. God doesn't give us the whole thing all at once, only what our capacity is capable of. The next thing is that our elevation or our expansion in the kingdom of God is dependent on our growing in the kingdom of God. So get growing. If you've been waiting for God to do something, it could be you haven't grown enough to bring it about. Maybe it's time to do some stretching, some lifting, some praying, some believing more, and get growing. The next thing is, yikes, it's disastrous to get ahead of God. You don't want to get ahead of God's timing in your life. God clearly knows that the Israelites are impatient. Anybody here can identify with the Israelites. You get a prophetic word, God gives you a dream about something, and you know, most of the time, us and the way we're made, we think it's going to happen when we wake up. Or the next day, a year goes by, and suddenly we're having issues, and we're angry about it. Getting ahead of God is disastrous. God is telling them twice in two different places here. The first time, speaking directly to Moses, and then Moses reminding them, you don't want to get ahead of me. There's the wild animals are going to eat you alive. He knows their lack of patience, and he also knows they'll run ahead and create disaster. So he's warning them, you got to go at when I say go. You got to go this far, and this is how far you can go. And if you go farther, you're going to get into trouble. So the Lord is saying, go by his directions. Go by his boundaries, his protocols that he sets up. That's what he's speaking to Israel. It speaks to us. It's a clear word for us as well. God will do his part. The next thing we get here is God will do his part if they do things his way. He will drive out the nations. He will send a whole bunch of hornets over here. This is great. So back over here in Exodus 23. Take a look at this. I'm going to back up, and I didn't ask them to put these scriptures up here, but I want to start reading at verse 20. Would you read along with me? Pull out your Bible, and I want you to see this thought as God is speaking to Moses. It's this thought: if you'll do things my way, I will do the amazing for you. Verse 20 of chapter 23. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I've prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of all the Hittites, and I will wipe them out. I love that. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. And then he goes into the section that we already read. Very clear. God will do his part. God will do the amazing. God will fulfill his word, fulfill his promise, if we'll just do things his way. Wow, that's really hard for us sometimes, because we get tired of waiting. Oh, we're going to talk about waiting in just a moment. What a great thing. And I'm saying that to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Waiting is a great thing. Did that sound genuine? I'll try to make it sound like I believe that too. No, just kidding. Anybody get tired of waiting for God to do his part? Well, the children of Israel, he knows they're going to get tired of waiting. So he's very clearly saying, hey, don't get ahead of me. Do things my way. It's going to work out. I'm going to take care of it. And let's get to that. God's plan for Israel. So what do we draw from this? Let's back up. God gives a big picture, but it's sometimes a long way away. He works at our capacity. Fulfilling the vision requires growth on our part. It's disastrous to get ahead of God. God will do his part if we do things his way. And the next part is God's plan for Israel included the blessed wait. I don't know about you, but it seems like all of my issues, you may not perceive I have issues. Just get in the car with me when I have to wait to get coffee. I have the most issues when someone in line in front of me is taking too long with their order at the coffee line. I say things like, I'm going to get out and slash their tires. I say things like, I'm going to walk up there and tell them to hurry. Okay. Maybe I'm being full transparent here. I'm giving you a different picture of Pastor Kirsten here. I all my issues come out. So when you're in line for coffee, like at one of those drive-thru things, this is the tip of the day. You can tell how many orders they've ordered by how many times the girl on the inside does this. Got it. Got it. You don't have to hear her say, got it. You just know, there goes one, two. When they get up to four, five, and six, I'm like trying to get saved all over again, because I'm just like, every time they do this, that more issues come out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't get in line behind the Pasonis, because the lady just keeps doing this. I just drive off. Forget it. Just drive off. Come back later. One nod I can do. Two nods. Okay, three nods, I'm gone. Or I'm going to have issues, really bad issues. I'm going to embarrass myself. The coffee line. Or this. We're talking about waiting. I'm just being really transparent that you're not the only one who has issues when you have to wait on God. Because we all have issues waiting on God. You're in line for coffee. Not you, but me. I'm in line for coffee. And I can see through the rearview mirror. And I'm counting how many kids are going back and forth. And I'm like, no, come back later. You got this and six kids. You know, they're on their way to school. And they didn't make breakfast. So they're all going to buy burritos, muffins, and things. And then extra large 32-ounce things. Okay, praise the Lord. I know that's not you. It's just me. It's only me. The effects of the wait. Waiting is a blessed thing. What? Crickets. Crickets. Do I hear crickets in the background? Waiting is absolutely God's plan for us. It's a great thing. I may have to keep saying that until I believe it. But it's a great thing, and it was God's wisdom to have Israel wait. You're not ready. Just wait. Be patient. Why would I say that the weight is great or blessed. Well, there's a few things that it does inside us. While we're waiting for the fulfillment of what God said he was doing, some things happen inside us that wouldn't happen if we didn't have to wait. If you and I had delivered to us as fast as Amazon delivers to my house all the promises of God, then there's some things that wouldn't happen that having to wait for God to fulfill will happen. And I've found that that's as much as what God's after than fulfilling the dream or the prophetic word that he brought about. It's what's happening in me while I'm little by little fulfilling the vision and waiting on God. See, the first thing that the wait does in our life is it confronts us with what we really believe about God. It makes us to ask some really tough questions. When we have to wait for God and the time has gone beyond our own personal expectations of when we thought God should move on our behalf and the way he should do it. Did I just spit? Did you see that? Act like you didn't see it. There's a big one too. Sorry, Mr. Toby, you'll have to remop. It's okay, you won't have to wet the mop because it's already. The wait causes us to ask some serious questions about what did God really say? What do I believe about God? And that's a great thing because it confronts us with our faith about what we believe about him. Is he good? Will he fulfill what he said he would fulfill? Will God keep his promise? Those are great questions to get solid and confident in our own belief system inside us. That's a good thing. That's a great thing because you find yourself going, wow, this is not exactly what I thought. The timing's not what I thought. Shouldn't this happen already by now? God said he's going to do that, but I don't see it yet. God said he's good, but I just don't see what I'm looking for. Which one am I going to choose? My own perceptions and timings, and am I going to turn that into a theology about what I believe about God, or am I going to say, regardless of the timing or what I see, and if it doesn't look like what I think it should look like, it's not going to change my idea about who God is. I'm going to go with what he said in his word, that he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind, that he said even through the corrupt prophet Balaam that he fulfills what he said he's going to do and what he promises he will fulfill, what he says he's going to do and what he blesses no one can change. I'm going to go with that. See, when we're faced with that, in the waiting, something happens on the inside of us. We're growing. We're being stretched in our understanding of just exactly who God is. And remember, that's where the children of Israel failed and had to go on a carousel for 40 years. Waiting on God and his timing shapes the aim of our living. It keeps us pointed towards the fulfillment of what God is going to do. It keeps our mind and our heart fixed on the fulfillment. It shapes our responses to things. It shapes our interpretation of what God is doing. It shapes what we proclaim. What comes out of our mouth during the waiting for God is super important. We're going to get to some of what comes out in just a moment, but waiting on God shapes our aim of our living. In order to receive the promise, we stay in these tight guidelines that we've put around ourselves to receive it. See, without vision, people perish. So if there's nothing that we're chasing and God's fulfilled it all in an instant, guess what? We will blow apart on the seams. But if we're constantly waiting and looking for him to fulfill things, we stay in this zone. We stay in position to receive it. We keep our life arranged, and we keep our words arranged, and we keep our hoping and our praying arranged, keeping pointing at it. And that's a great thing. The wait, waiting on God is more than just the fulfillment of a promise. God's developing us. God is very concerned about developing us. And in the waiting for God to fulfill something that he gave a dream or a vision or whatever it might be that he gave to you, prophetic word, God's developing us. He's developing our faith. He's developing our patience. He's developing our stewardship. He's developing our heart. He's developing our serving and our praying. I have found that people that know how to pray are people that are looking at God to fulfill something that hasn't come about. See, if God just hands us all the dreams, visions, and prophetic words the next morning, we don't become people of prayer. One of the intentions, or one of the byproducts of us keeping our life in a position to receive is our prayer life develops, which is a must for a successful Christian living, invading darkness, taking over territory, putting something together like this facility. This was no cakewalk. And many of you have been with us since the time we broke ground out here, and there was a barn, a blue barn sitting here, which I miss. I miss doing early morning prayer at the barn. Those days are gone. We have grown past them. But we have to develop as a person of prayer. And the waiting does something in us in the realm of prayer. The next thing, which I'm not a fan of, is waiting brings dross up to the top. See, it's what comes out of you that tells everyone what's in you. And when you're having to wait on God and he didn't fulfill your expectations, and you're having to go little by little when you're ready to run a mile and you only moved an inch, and it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like, and it's taking longer than you thought, things come out of you and everyone else gets to see it. And it's a great thing if you're willing to do something to change it. Complaining comes out, bitterness, horrible attitudes come out. You start losing friends because all you do is complain. Everything's a gray cloud. You can't rejoice. You can't smile. Wow, all the dross starts rising to the top. That's a great thing. See, that's God's intention. One of God's great intentions in our life is to get the dross out of us. See, waiting can feel so many times like you're getting squeezed. What comes out when you get squeezed? Righteousness, joy, peace? Is that coming out when you get squeezed? If it's not, we're going to go around again. We're going to go, the carousel's going around some more. What a great thing. If you want to know what comes out of you, just ask your spouse. They've probably already told you. But just for confirmation, you could ask them and they'll be very clear and transparent. I know I have a wonderful gift in my house that helps me with those things. And if you're not married and you're on your way to being married, it's one of the great things that you have looking ahead of you is someone's going to help you tell you what all the dross is that you're dealing with. You could ask your coworkers. They probably know. Especially if you go to work and all you do is complain and then say, why don't you come to King's? What? You've only complained for 9 years. Now you're wanting me to come to your church. Why would I come to your church? So I can be like you? Brings dross out. There's a whole lot of dross in our lives. There's icky things hiding in there. disappointments, places in our life that needs healed. Father, help us. You know what? Let's just pause for a moment. Why don't you just, in your own personal prayer, pray a scary prayer. God, would you bring all the dross to the top? Let's do that right now. Sounds like fun, maybe. All right. Lord, oh God, I got dross that needs to be brought out. So would you please help me bring all the dross to the top and purify me, refine me like silver and gold, and bring out the dross. We got some great scriptures on waiting. Hopefully these guys got it ready. Take a look at these. Here's several psalms. Take a look at these. Psalm 5:3. Do we got those back there? Do we got them up there? Take a look at these. I'm just going to flip through a few of these just to help us in understanding God is fulfilling his word. It's just not moving as fast as maybe you think. If you're keeping your life in the position to receive, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait. Everyone say wait. Wait expectantly. Let's go to the next one. Psalm 27:14. Wait. Come on, say it with me. Wait. For the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait. For the Lord. Let's look at the next one. Here we go. Psalm 33:20. Here we go. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Let's go to the next one. Wow, this is getting good. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're all saying wait together. Okay, let's try it. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Let's go to the next one. Psalm something. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord, my God. Do we have any more of those? Hey, take a look at this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. One more. Let's take a look. 130 verse. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. Hey, what a great part of God leading us little by little. And this is what God was doing in the nation of Israel. And it's what God is doing in us. God will fulfill his word. He will bring about the prophetic words. He will bring about the dreams. They're not going to be according to our time. But when the time comes that you see it fulfilled, you'll realize, wow, God, you've done such an amazing work in my life. From that point to the fulfillment. Let me tell you one of them that I've got to experience. In 2012, I had and I've shared this before, so you might remember, but I had a series of dreams. I was living on the island of Maui, and I had a series of dreams that were so real and so vivid, it just felt like I left my body and went somewhere in space and time to see something happen. It was incredible. And in one of the dreams, it was the last one that I had, I was in an enormous warehouse with huge windows. One of the walls of the whole warehouse was all windows. And on the other side of the windows was a river. And I'm sitting in this warehouse. And somebody says to us, here they come. We turned away from the windows. The entry to the warehouse was opposite the windows. So this way. And when they said, here they come, we stood and turned. And these doors opened in a, you know, up there. And thousands of salmon started filling this warehouse. Mountains of salmon started filling this warehouse. I thought, okay, there it is. And I go over to the windows. And as I was at the windows, a significant person, one of my family members, walks up to me. I said, what are you doing here? And he says to me, oh, I came for the grand opening. See, in 2012, I had this incredible dream of this facility. And I woke up from that dream and I thought, God's gonna make me the owner of a salmon factory. I've got to find the factory. I started driving around Maui looking for a giant warehouse. It's got to be here. Where is it? No, there's no salmon warehouse on Maui. I thought I had missed God because I can't find the warehouse. It's got to be right now. Why would God show me this dream in 2012 if I'm not supposed to own a salmon factory in tomorrow? So my family, on the word of the Lord, moved to Oregon, which was another dream that I had. We moved to Oregon. Guess what I started looking for? I literally drove around looking. This is it. The fulfillment. God's going to give me a warehouse in Oregon. And my uncle's going to come to it. And it's going to be filled with fish. I never found. And there was a specific part of the warehouse. I would know it's the one when I find the enormous wall of windows and a river right on the other side. I never found that. And let me tell you, it made me wonder if I really, did I really have that dream? Did I really have that dream? All these things right here started to play out in my life. Through some other circumstances, we moved here, and after we moved here, after about a year or so, we're at Lucille Street. Pastor Daniel brings a big scroll to our staff meeting, and he says, hey, it's time for us to start thinking and talking about building a new building. And so he unrolls this. Here's some previous drawings. Why don't everybody give some input? I'm looking at them. I don't know nothing about buildings. Zero. I'm looking at them. Hey, what's this? Oh, it's the children's room. Hey, what's this? Oh, it's the same room. What's this? What's this in the middle? Oh, it's a huge lobby. Oh, wow. Okay. Why does this wall look different than the other ones? And he says to me, oh, because it's windows from floor to ceiling. What? What? Wait a minute. Are you saying from the floor to the ceiling is an enormous wall of windows and right on the other side of it is Parks Highway? A river of traffic night and day going up and down Parks Highway? And look, I get to sit right out there and look at the fulfillment of something amazing. And all along, 10 years went by of looking for trying to rush it. Find the factory and hurry up God's plan. I just needed to wait because there were things in me that weren't ready for those windows to go up. And there were things in my family, my wife and my children, that weren't ready yet. It would have been, if I'd have had that when I wanted it, it'd have been like me going down the sidewalk and having a hulimaka flip at the bottom. So I'm here today just to encourage you from the way God operated with Israel, knowing their frailties, knowing their tendencies, giving them the big picture, but then saying, you need to grow some more. It's your capacity that's the limiter, and you will fulfill it when you grow enough. So I'm saying to you the same thing. God will fulfill what he said. He will stand by his word. He will fulfill promise. He will keep yourself in position to receive it. Don't get tired of waiting. Get glad about the waiting. He's working something in you you couldn't do on your own, and it wouldn't happen if you didn't have to wait. And that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. Because then, like me, standing out there looking at those windows wondering, how did all this happen? And I didn't even know it. Something in me has totally changed. The fulfillment is just a landmark on the road. It was never about the windows. It was about what's happening here in me, then what's happening on our staff. Now it's time for the windows. God's working in you. He's developing you. It's time for you to get growing. Here's what God's saying to us very quickly. See a bigger picture. Look at what God is doing in you more than your imagined fulfillment of the promise. Number two, be filled with faith. It's okay. You should pray and say, God, I need faith. Would you fill me with faith? And then get growing. This upcoming season, get in a life group. I've been in a life group. Okay, move towards leading a life group. Maybe open your home for a life group. Get involved in some way on a team. There's so many teams for so many gifts and talents and abilities. Get on a team. Maybe you've been on a team. Move up in leadership. Find out, how do I become a leader on this team? Maybe start taking steps of leadership. Maybe enrolling KSM. We're going to be highlighting KSM in August. We start again in September. At the end of August, we don't take applications anymore until the next year. But get growing. Bring about God's plan for you. Let's pray. Why don't you stand with me? Mr. Wonderful Keyboard Minister, why don't you come join me for play something growing and waiting. Play something about waiting. Anybody here facing the exciting wait? You're waiting on God to fulfill some things. I hope in some way, by looking at this, faith is released to you. Hope is released to you. Maybe a bigger picture is released to you. And maybe some new tread on your tires. Because sometimes it feels like our tires are about out of tread when we have to wait a long time for God to fulfill things. You might need some new tread on your tires. I'm going to pray for you. All different ways to respond to this message. Whatever way that you heard God speak to you, why don't you just begin right now? Just close your eyes and begin to speak to Him about those things, whatever it might be. So, Father, tonight we hear your word speaking to us, and we recognize that you're in process, and so are we. That you're concerned about who we're becoming as we wait and look in the distance to see the vision, the dream, the prophetic word. Sometimes, God, it feels afar off and impossible, but you're leading us little by little. We recognize, just like you said to the Israelites, you will do wonders, you will do miracles, you will be an enemy to our enemies if we will do things your way. You know what, right now, even as I said that, it could be you need to repent of getting ahead of God. Maybe you headed down the sidewalk like I did when it wasn't ready yet. It wasn't time yet. Hey, you can turn around. Maybe you had a hulimaka flip. The fact that you're here today means God's able to turn it around and keep you going. You can fulfill what God has for you to fulfill. Maybe you feel like everything is in the rearview mirror and I just can never become those things. I've made too many mistakes. That's not true. You're here today. If I can be here today and get to do what I can do, wow, with my background, you can too. You might need to repent. Maybe you need to receive Jesus for the first time and start walking down that road of fulfilling what God has for you. We're going to take time to pray. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus and begin doing things His way. It starts by making Him your Lord and your Savior. Your Lord because you're going to submit your entire life to Him. And your Savior because you can't save yourself. Neither can I. So we make Him our Lord and our Savior. We're going to invite Jesus to be the great orchestrator. And we're going to let Him be the boss of our life. And we're going to see the things like this start becoming fulfilled. The good plans of God in our life. It begins by making Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you need to receive Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray with me today. Right where you are, simple prayer. The Bible makes it clear. If you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus to die for you and that he died for you, for your sin, if you believe that, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, if you believe that, and you proclaim Jesus is your Lord, you'll be saved. It's with your heart that you believe. It's with your mouth that you confess Jesus is Lord and is saved. Let's do that together on this Wednesday night. Come on, why don't you bow your head with me for just a moment in just a reverent position. We're giving reverence here. We're not letting anyone bother us. That's why we would do that. Close our eyes just so we're not distracted. We don't distract anyone else. Pray this right out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive tonight what Jesus did for me. He died on the cross for my sin. He rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me brand new. I turn away from sin and I turn to you. Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender my life to you from this moment on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, won't you lift your hands? I'm going to pray for you tonight. Father, I pray for every person here and online that received you, whether for the first time or whether they came back because they drifted or they just not sure. Lord, I bless those tonight that received you. I pray your power be released in their life. May their thinking change. Their thoughts from heaven start showing up. I pray a visitation of your power and your presence in their life. I pray a nearness with you, just like you did with me when I received you so long ago. Such a nearness with you, hearing your voice, communing with you. Oh God, let that begin tonight in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.